the Bet Rivers Sportsbook Tony and Mo Football Show, live from Twin Peaks in Westchester. Brought to you in part by Encore Technologies. Visit Encore.tech, Miami Valley Gaming. Get ready to get lucky at Miami Valley Gaming. Stone Statements. Bring your dream kitchen to life. StoneStatements.com. Nixco Plumbing. Don't go to the average Joe. Call Nixco. Superior Honda. SuperiorHondaStore.com. Simply Superior. Hard Rock Casino. Get in the game. First State Bank. You're at home with us. Life Center. Changing lives through organ and tissue donation. R&O Carriers. Your global transportation provider. Visit RLC.com today. And by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Visit BetRivers.com. This is Cincinnati's ESPN 1530, the official home of the Bengals.
All right, here we go. Good afternoon. I'm Mo Egger with Tony Pike. It's the Bet Rivers Sportsbook, Tony and Mo Football Show. We come to you every Monday from Twin Peaks in Westchester. We are a service of Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Go to BetRivers.com. Right off I-75, beautiful place.
Couldn't be easier.
They've hosted us every Monday since the beginning of the football season. We will be here clear to the end of the football season, at least for the Bengals, which I guess isn't going to go beyond January the 3rd. But nonetheless, you've got plenty of time to come on out and see us. There's two Monday night football games. So get off work, post up, have a beer, watch some football this afternoon and tonight. And get involved in the Bengals conversation with us.
Yes.
Between now and 6 o'clock.
Lot to conversate about.
Where do you want to start?
That's my problem.
Where do you want to begin the show? Usually I take the lead here. I'll hand it over to you. Do you want to start?
Way too much to get into from yesterday outside of, you know, the 21-point lead and all. I think it's best that we start with Zach Taylor.
I don't know how you don't.
Because yesterday was everything that Zach Taylor's wanted, right? Didn't have to coach from behind.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't coaching in a high-pressure situation
throughout
the course of the game. Build a 21-point lead. They're laughing on the sideline. Things are great.
A.J. Green's playing great.
A.J. Green looks good. The defense, without Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins getting many snaps or getting stops, Phillip Rivers coming off a game where he gave the Browns 9 points in the second half, looked pedestrian in that first quarter, and the walls came crashing down quickly, and the more the walls came crashing down, the tighter and tighter. Just watching the game, you could feel Zach Taylor getting in his play calling and ultimately leading to a huge collapse. And a team now that some could argue with the right coaching in place could be 4-2.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Chargers, Philadelphia yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You win those three, you're 4-2 going against the 4-2 Browns. Instead, you're 1-4-1, seemingly kind of spiraling out of control right now, and good luck winning your next
game. This team's
trip.
A mess. Just call it what it is. This team is an absolute mess. From blowing a 21-0 lead to being non-competitive last week to there being legitimate questions about the quality of the coaching. You've got unhappy players. You've got the phasing out of guys who have meant a lot to this organization, which at face value is fine, but could perhaps reveal some other things. You mentioned play calling. So I'm going to harp on two things. And then we'll get to some of the larger themes of
like just that 30 seconds right there.
Yeah.
There's 20 different topics that
we
could go into.
Oh, good God.
That's how crazy this is.
They're an abject mess. But that said, there they were yesterday, despite blowing the lead in the fourth quarter with multiple opportunities to at least take the lead and at the end of the game win.
Yeah.
Can you explain to me, with any degree of success, midway through the fourth quarter, 3rd and 1 from the 30.
Oh.
Game hanging in the balance. Bengals trailing by a point. The ball goes to Samaje Perine. That's what we're doing?
Had a good career at Oklahoma.
Yeah, fine, whatever. Samaje Perine.
Yeah.
Of all the different things you could have done, design runs for Joe Burrow, try a sneak, which they did for a touchdown early.
A two-yard sneak.
Two-yard sneak. All the different places they can go to with the football. Even if Joe Mixon's dealing with an injury, which he did leave the game yesterday and came back, 3rd and 1.
Giovanni Bernard ran the ball well.
Giovanni Bernard, 3rd and 1. Game hanging in the balance. Must-win game for your football team. Zach Taylor looks on that thing that he holds on the sideline, gets in the headset, consults with his guys, and calls a handoff to the fullback,
yeah,
who had touched the ball zero times this season, five times total last year, is a journeyman running back. That's where we're going with the football? Can you help me understand that?
The best part about it is Richard Skinner asked him after the game about that play.
Yeah.
And where Zach Taylor could have got out front of it and said, you know what, this is the look they were giving us.
Yeah.
This is why he said it was a play. It was a fullback dive.
A fullback dive.
It was a play for the fullback. So
that's what we're doing.
So not only.
How many people in this bar right now even knew that Samaje Perine was on the Bengals? Let me help you with that. Zero.
Zero.
None. Zero.
Zero.
A dude could walk through this front door right now. You'd have no idea who he is.
I thought they drafted two running backs.
Yeah. All the different things you could have done with them. That's your guy?
And
that's
and
the call?
And
not only
Perine getting the call, but how they designed it. Did Kyle Juszczyk get traded to this team? Like, my problem is you had success all day. I could see one thing like, you know what, third and one, man, they've been stuffing us all day. The line actually was getting a push.
Yeah.
They had ran that shotgun kind of redraw the whole game, and they were getting positive yards. Giovanni Bernard was making nice cuts. Joe Mixon was making cuts. The announcers went out of the way to talk about how physical the offensive line was.
Yeah.
And instead of giving a running back 5 to 7 yards of a head start, he lined up about 2 yards behind Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
So no acceleration, no boost. Gets stifled at the line.
That's our guy.
And here's where I take it one step further. Even if you want to give him a carry.
I don't.
You damn sure better go for it on fourth down then.
Correct.
Because if not, if my third down call with the game hanging in the balance, better be my best player.
It's
or
cowardly.
A guy that you're paying $12 million to say, hey, I need 1 yard out of you before we move the sticks here. So, one, if you go for it with Samaje, you go for it on fourth down with Joe Mixon. Or you give it to your best back on third down, and if they stop you, then you say, you know what? I don't want to risk that again. Let's take the points.
Staggering. Cowardly. The great website, CincyJungle.com, in summarizing winners and losers from the game, called the move cowardly.
It doesn't happen anywhere else in football. It happens to Cincinnati.
If there's literally any play they could have run, gone in any direction with the football, and if it doesn't work, I go, okay, fine.
Watching Jesse Bates' high point of football, I'd have put him at receiver.
It's like watching Jose Garcia make the last out for the Reds in a playoff game.
Yes.
You can't live with that. I can't live with a situation like that game hanging in the balance, and they got the football back, and we will talk about the last possession. And the go-to call is a fullback dive to a dude who's barely hanging onto a roster spot.
It speaks to the...
What are we doing?
It speaks to the level of Zach Taylor's play calling execution. Because I guarantee if you watch this game coming up at 5, Andy Reid on his play sheet has 5 to 7 need-a-yard plays.
Do you think Eric Bieniemy will have any consultation with that play
yes,
sheet?
Yes, he will.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
You know, sitting from this offensive genius for years now, he probably does. Because my thing is, the most important play of the game was that third down. Things had come easy in the first half.
Yes.
24 points, moving the ball well. Offensive explosion. You're playing the number one defense, albeit without their best player.
Right.
Things are going well. But at the end of the game on third and one, when you look at your play sheet, the play that jumped out to Zach Taylor was a fullback straight dive. No misdirection. No shot. Just a fullback dive. That alone should have you sitting down and meeting with ownership today about your job status.
You played quarterback at a very high level, so help me with this. Bengals are driving. Look, after they fourth and one field goal missed by Randy Bullock, which, you know, maybe the game turns out differently if he makes the kick. He had made a 55-yarder early in the game, but they get the ball back. They just watch the fullback dive again. 31-27, Bengals get the ball back at their own 26, 3:57, 4 minutes to go, full timeouts, full complement of timeouts, and Joe Burrow goes to work, Giovanni Bernard goes to work, Bengals get it into Indianapolis territory, they convert on a 4th and 9 on a pass to A.J. Green.
Emotional play.
His biggest catch in forever. So now you're feeling pretty good. Clock is ticking, Indy's a little bit back on their heels. They throw a little dump-off pass to Giovanni Bernard, and I'm going, okay, fine, let's bleed some clock here. I have no issue with this. Let's score with as little time as possible. From that point, things looked a little chaotic.
Rushed. hurried.
Yeah. And I'm screaming, call timeout.
Yeah.
Call timeout. You've played quarterback at a very high level. Walk me through those last couple of plays and the decision to not call a timeout, to give Joe Burrow a chance to compose himself, to give him a chance to maybe offer some input as to what he wants to run, to make sure that everybody's on the same page,
yeah,
to manage what may happen if this happens, what may happen if this happens. Walk me through that sequence and why Zach Taylor did not use a timeout.
Well, I can't answer to why he didn't use a timeout, because so much goes into that sequence, and it starts with the fourth down, because Indy said, we're bringing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow stands in the pocket, delivers an unbelievable pass. A.J. Green gets his depth to the sticks, first down.
Mm-hmm.
After that, your emotions are running pretty high now as a quarterback. You just converted a huge fourth down. You're in opponent's territory. You're feeling like, okay, this is the moment. This is what's going to change things around. But from that, Mo, that emotion now could be a bad thing in football as well. So you run the play. You get a short gain. At that moment, I was exactly on the same page as you. I want a timeout for many reasons. One, I want to just tell my rookie quarterback, just breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, relax, take a breath. Let's catch what we want to do here. And then you have a conversation with, what do you like here? Because as much as Zach Taylor is calling plays, Joe Burrow sees everything going on in the field.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like here? What are you seeing on this two-minute drive that they're giving you? Let's go back to it. That wasn't able to happen because you're rushing now.
Right.
Now the clock's ticking, you're rushing, you're trying to communicate with guys, and then the point you made, making sure everyone's on the same page.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, T. Higgins is still a rookie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mike Thomas is still trying to learn. Well, I don't know how much longer Mike Thomas has. A.J. Green is still on his way back. Tyler Boyd, make sure everyone's on the same page.
Here's when we want make to clock sure, it. Here's
Yeah, make yeah. sure your offensive line and the protection is set. Do I want Giovanni Bernard here? Do I want Joe Mixon? What package do I want? Let's just regroup, take a step back. Instead of panicking, rushing, calling plays, and like you said, okay, if it gets down to this time, clock it. If not, let's spike the ball here. Let's try to run this route to get out of bounds. Instead, Zach Taylor is sitting here today with two timeouts left in his pocket.
Yeah, what did he do with the timeouts?
I don't know.
Did he use them on the bus?
I think he has the option to use them during today's press conference.
He should.
If things get a little – like, if he wanted to, you know, poke fun at himself,
yeah,
he should just be like, hey, I'm going to use one of my two timeouts
right.
and take a break here from you guys.
Really can't wait to hear that press conference. A little bit later on, we'll separate it into to two parts.
But and the last to that point, it's stuff you don't worry about elsewhere in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's composed. Hey, let's use our – because you got one left, right? Worst
yes.
case scenario, a sack happens.
Yeah.
Something like that. Hey, we still got one.
I don't
now
want,
we'll burn
I'm
it.
Not looking for him to call a timeout after they convert the first down and then call a timeout after that play.
I want the clock wasn't the issue.
Correct.
Issue is I want everyone on the same page.
Yeah, I've got a fresh set of downs, so let's talk them through. We've got a timeout in our pocket.
Yep.
You know, if we have to use it later, we'll have to use it. That to me, rookie quarterback, lots of dudes who together have not been in that situation before. It's setting your guys up for success.
And you can argue on the interception, things are going really fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Plays called, you're seeing one thing, you're now thinking, clock's running, I can't take a quick out here, I got to try to make a play down the field, and you don't see the backside guy. I mean, that's a rookie quarterback play, but who's to say if you didn't just, hey, relax, take a breath, let's go through this, these are what we want to run here, watch out for this, mm-hmm. is what a good coach and offensive coordinator is telling his guy, right? Hey, we're going to run this. If they give you this look, just take this and we'll go back to it.
18 minutes after 3 o'clock. He's Tony Pike. I'm Mo Egger. We're at Twin Peaks in Westchester every single Monday for the Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Tony and Mo Football Show. We're here till 6 o'clock tonight. I'm not sure. We didn't get to 3:10, and already I had buried my head in my hands once. That's not
yeah.
where we want to be that early in the show. Nonetheless,
right.
A lot to dissect, a lot to get to, not just yesterday's game, but where this team is after not just six games, but 22
Ooh.
Games of the Zach Taylor era. We focused on play calling and offensive game management a week after the Bengals got and deserved a lot of credit for the way the defense showed against Baltimore. Yesterday, they were at times non-existent. There's lots of moving parts on defense we have to talk about. We'll do that when we come back. It's 19 minutes after 3 o'clock. We're at the Twin Peaks in Westchester, right off I-75, the Union Center Boulevard exit. I'm Mo Egger. He's Tony Pike. Bent River Sportsbook, Tony and Mo Football Show on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station. Bent River Sportsbook, Tony and Mo Football Show, Twin Peaks in Westchester. We're here till 6 o'clock. And we're glad that you are with us this afternoon. You'll hear, I'm just going to warn you, we have a Zach Taylor press conference, which concluded a few minutes ago, and we'll have part one of it for you at 3:45. We'll have part two at 4:45. I'm just going to warn you at some point while you listen to Zach Taylor's press conference today, you are going to hear him say, we are, quote, we are a few plays away from having a really good record.
Yeah.
That's Zach Taylor's going to, you are going to hear him say that.
Yes.
Now, I'm just bracing you. I don't know if it's going to be at 3:45 or 4:45, but you might not want to be behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah.
You may not want to be with your kids in the, you may just listen to that part by yourself while you're not running anything sharp, while you're not doing something that if it goes awry could hurt somebody or yourself. I'm going to need alcohol. I got to be honest. I have a beer at 4 o'clock every Monday.
I'm about to bump it up.
Taryn, our server's name is Taryn as well. I need beer for the Zach Taylor press conference. If I am going to listen to him talk about how close they are to having a good record, it's going to be a very bad day for me.
I was a few surgeries away from making a lot more money in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
We've been a few really good shows short of, you know, taking over the – I mean, what – how about – How about a plan?
Boy, if
how
I
about
was
execution. How about accountability? Not just, well, we're going to stay positive and the guys in this room, you know, they believe in what we're doing. I guarantee that less people believe now than believed 3 weeks ago.
I follow enough Bengals players on Twitter that I can tell you
after I don't think so.
Looking at them on Friday, there's reason to doubt.
Well, the winter's coming, right?
Yeah.
And you know those cracks that form in your foundation when water gets in them.
Oh, wow.
And then they freeze. Well, they're starting to expand.
Very, very, very
well
put.
We're getting that today.
Yeah.
We've seen that the last few weeks.
We're just a couple of plays away from having a really good record.
Yeah.
Is that like the new team motto?
Yep.
Hey, is that what they're going to put on billboards?
Hey,
we're just a couple of plays away. We would have a good record.
Yep.
Except for those, you know, couple of plays.
Right.
I mean, if they would have called the game at 21-0, the Bengals would have a win. Stupid NFL makes them play four quarters.
Yep.
There you go. That's inspiring.
Everybody else's fault.
That's inspiring. So just be ready. 3:45. I don't know if you're going to hear it at 3:45 or 4:45, but you're going to hear Zach Taylor assure you, hey, we're just a couple of plays away from having a really good record. Starting in the second quarter, the Bengals secondary, which collectively did a really good job against the Baltimore Ravens, Phillip Rivers is 1,000 years old.
Yep.
This week in Indianapolis, they're talking about him being a $25 million mistake. Last week in Indy, I should say, $25 million mistake.
And now he's getting MVP votes.
And yet, yesterday, first of all, they barely pressured him. Second of all, without sending a lot of pressure, they had all sorts of dudes dropping into coverage.
Oh.
LaShawn Sims got exposed. Darius Phillips got exposed. His Pro Football Focus grade is one of the worst that I've ever seen. The linebackers were letting dudes catch balls in front of them. The back eight, back seven of that defense was incapable of stopping any sort of short throw. Von Bell gets crushed down the field.
Huge third down. He got lost.
What were we doing on defense yesterday?
Outside of Jesse Bates, I don't know who's playing well on defense.
Jesse Bates played well again yesterday, had a huge pick, is having an excellent season aside from him. What are we doing?
Crazy thing to me, the week before, Phillip Rivers basically conceded a safety because of pressure. Just threw the ball away. Intentional ground in the end zone, it's a safety. He also threw a pick six because pressure was in his face. He dropped back 44 times yesterday and was sacked once. I would be willing to say, out of everyone in this bar, that Phillip Rivers would struggle to beat 25% of them. I don't think Phillip Rivers wins a foot race against anyone else on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, one sack. I mean, the play Phillip Rivers made when he scrambled out of the pocket and threw the ball away looked like the slowest play in the history of football. And yet, in 44 attempts, you couldn't get him off his mark. One time he threw the ball up, which he's prone to do. Jesse Bates made a good play. Out of the 29 completions, 16 went to a running back or tight end.
Yeah.
That's safeties and linebackers being exposed.
No adjustment
None.
Whatsoever.
None.
I mean, what I saw in the second quarter is what I saw in the fourth quarter.
Yep. And here's the problem. Because people talk about the defense. The defense was gifted the Jack Doyle fumble to start the game.
Correct.
And then when it's 21-0, you are very close in the NFL, a possession or two from putting a team away.
Early, yeah.
The worst thing that can happen happened.
Well, just like you're a couple of plays away from having a really good record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, now I sound like Zach Taylor. at 21-0, if the Colts go on a 12-play, 7-minute drive, okay, that's fine.
Right.
You gave up a touchdown drive in 2 minutes and 38 seconds, mm-hmm. including a big play down the field. That changes momentum. That gives Phillip Rivers confidence, which we talked about in the pregame show.
Yeah.
The one thing you don't want Phillip Rivers to do is get easy completions. The first two touchdown drives were under 6 minutes total. So not only are you getting beat, you're getting beat bad quick. So all of a sudden, now what? Oh, right before the half. We already know what this Bengals defense does. They give up points before the half. So a 21-0 game goes into half at 24-21, and you don't make any of the adjustments to stop players out of back. I mean, the Colts did enough to shoot themselves in the foot with penalties, offensive pass interferences, the defensive body slam on Giovanni Bernard. I mean, the Colts did enough to let the Bengals continue to dominate that game, and they made bad plays at bad times. And, again, here's the thing. People point to Lou Anarumo, and it was. It was bad by Lou Anarumo.
Mm-hmm.
Lou Anarumo was hired by Zach Taylor. Jim Turner was hired by Zach. These are guys that the head coach decided to bring in that were tasked with turning around a defense. And then the offseason, the organization went all in to give Zach Taylor pieces all over.
Mm-hmm.
So when Lou Anarumo struggles, go back like what we talked about during the break. Jack Del Rio was a name that people were talking about. That just kind of quietly fizzled out.
Yeah.
There's a reason that we settled on Lou Anarumo. And you saw that yesterday when the Bengals were up 21-0 and couldn't hold on to a lead.
Let's talk about what is turning into a really, really interesting dynamic on this team, and it's on the defensive side of the ball. We'll spend some time on that when we come back. And then in about 15 minutes, Zach Taylor's press conference.
Set your recording
devices. We're just, hey, a couple of plays away from having a really good record.
We're there.
Almost.
We're there.
This team does almost lead the league and almost wins. Maybe that's a new category.
Yeah.
Zach Taylor, he talked a lot about having a winning culture. With Zach Taylor, it's the almost winning culture. We almost won, and we came close. Close to winning culture. Near miss culture. How can you have a winning culture if you never win?
Right.
Right?
It's I know coming.
It's a chicken of the egg sort of thing.
It's coming.
So before you have a winning culture, you have to have an almost winning culture.
It's coming.
They almost won again.
Yeah.
Bengals have like 5 almost wins this year.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. If they start counting.
That Cleveland game, they were close late.
Well, they're down a possession, 6 yeah. minutes to go, almost win.
Yep.
We need to find out what it's like in baseball, the quality start. What is the criteria for a quality start? What is the criteria for an almost win in the NFL?
Agreed.
And can you make the playoffs? Can you break a streak where your franchise hasn't won a stupid playoff game in 3 decades by piling up almost wins?
You know the worst
thing? Can you get to Canton with almost wins?
You know the worst thing about yesterday? When it was 21-0, I thought about putting a live bet in on the Colts. Because when it was 24-7, my mind immediately went to Colts have a chance to come back and win this game. And that is the mentality that we now have because of what we see week in and week out.
Do you think Dave Shula had a lot of almost wins?
Probably.
You know what he did in his last game? You know what the Bengals led by in Dave Shula's last game?
21?
21 zip.
Wow.
What was the score yesterday? 21 zip.
He was held accountable for that.
Almost win. Dave Shula got whacked. Almost win. Zach Taylor will be on the sideline this week as the Bengals host the Cleveland
contract
Browns.
Extension.
25 minutes away from 4 o'clock. He's Tony Pike. I'm Mo Egger. This is the Bet River Sportsbook Tony and Mo football show from Twin Peaks in Westchester on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station. 19 from 4. This is the Bet River Sportsbook Tony and Mo football show on ESPN 1530. A couple of things really quick. Reds today announced that Nick Kroll is going to head up the team's baseball operations department, assuming the duties previously held by Dick Williams, who resigned on October the 7th. Nick Kroll has been 15 years working alongside Dick Williams, 19 in the organization, was hired in 2003, spent the last couple of years as the Reds' general manager. Meanwhile, Monday Night Football, there's two. Kansas City's at Buffalo this afternoon.
5 o'clock.
And Andy Dalton gets the start for the Cowboys as they
prime
host the
time.
Arizona Cardinals, both games live on Fox Sports 1360. College football, UC is ninth in the AP Top 25 football poll. They're 10th in the coaches poll. Ohio State, 5th in both. Buckeyes finally get underway this weekend against Nebraska. And the Bearcats hope to be in Dallas this Saturday to play SMU. One thing that was kind of interesting from yesterday was the distribution of snaps and how largely absent Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap were from the game plan. Geno played 18 snaps yesterday. It was mostly invisible.
18 out of 63.
Mostly invisible for a second straight week. Carlos Dunlap was in for 28 plays. It's worth noting Sam Hubbard's absence.
DJ Reader's
might
absence.
Make you think, yeah, DJ Reader's absence might make you think that both guys would play more. Dunlap had a tackle. Atkins did not do anything statistically. I was reading a story from Tyler Dragon of The Inquirer, who writes that sources, according to sources, both players are frustrated with their lack of playing time. They're miffed by the team's defensive philosophy and approach and basically have been demoted to third down specialists. You'll hear Zach talk about that during his press conference, and we'll have part one of that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Walk through this thing
We're
for me.
We're terrible on third down.
Correct. Walk through this for me or with me. I don't have an issue with aging players who aren't productive not playing as much.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it should be. Here's the issue I'm going to have. The next step after being phased out is phased off, removed from the team. There is no reason to have either player here next year. We're wondering how the Bengals are going to afford a free agent offensive lineman or two. There's the money right there. They're paying the price for clinging to 2015.
Yep.
Brought back AJ. And AJ was good yesterday, but brought back AJ Green, brought back Geno Atkins, brought back Carlos Dunlap. AJ obviously is not under contract for next season. Atkins has 2 years left on his deal. Carlos, one. I don't have an issue phasing these guys out. What I would have an issue with is clinging to them, which means if you can swing a deal at the deadline in a couple of weeks, it's 2 weeks from tomorrow, do it. And certainly at the end of the season, those are two of your top five highest paid players. They're now third down specialists. Move on.
I also have the problem with the character and communication side of things, because if everything was out in the open and honest, I feel like these players wouldn't be blindsided by what's going on with the defensive philosophies. That's where it starts with me.
Mm-hmm.
You got veterans on this team, pro bowlers, guys that have been a big part of this team. Then you treat them with that respect that they've gained and they've earned. And I don't see that right now. And my thing is, the talk of the offseason moves was to help who? Geno Atkins, right?
Yeah.
Man, can you imagine Geno Atkins is going to get one-on-one now? Carlos Dunlap and company on the outside. How can you face someone out if you don't know what they have left? Is it fair to judge Geno Atkins in 16 or 18 snaps in a game against the Baltimore Ravens and then the Indianapolis Colts with a really good offensive line? Or are you going to give him a fair chance? Hell, I mentioned about Phillip Rivers' comfort level. Sean Williams is a captain of this team,
mm-hmm.
voted on by the players. Running backs and tight ends had 16 catches. Sean Williams played 10 snaps. Von Bell wasn't playing great. John Ross had one snap. So here's my thing. If you're moving in a direction, that's fine. But if you're going to hold someone accountable, then you can't have different levels of accountability for different players. Mike Thomas last week fumbled and had a drop on his first play this game.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Thomas, if that was another player, John Ross, would be taken out of the game. You can't coach other players differently because they're, quote-unquote, your guy. Because when you do that, you are going to lose a locker room really fast. And now, what did we say about Mike Tomlin years ago? Because remember when things seemed to be breaking at the seams?
Yeah.
And then you found out what Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown really were?
Mm-hmm.
And we said, man, good on Mike Tomlin for keeping that together for so long.
Yeah.
You didn't hear about this stuff much with Marvin Lewis here, right? For the most part, that locker room stayed pretty clean.
Yeah.
And they didn't go out on a Tuesday or a Monday and bash what was going on. And now, over the course of a week, a lot of players are starting to voice opinions of what's going on. And that, to me, is trouble for a young, young offensive-minded coach with zero experience.
I want to touch more on this topic in a bit. There's a lot here. Carlos Dunlap, I don't recall – say what you want about Marvin Lewis. I am not going to pretend that I was wanting Marvin Lewis to stay.
100%.
I don't recall at any point during Marvin's tenure, a player coming out and directly throwing his head coach under the bus the way Carlos Dunlap did less than 2 weeks ago. When he said, look, you know, I'm paraphrasing him here, but I found out I wasn't starting by looking at the sheet in the locker room. I wasn't communicated with. He used the word miscommunication multiple times. I'm sure there were players that had their issues with Marvin. That's fine. You're in one place for so long, it's going to happen. But my first thought when that happened was, A, Zach Taylor has talked about communication being the foundation of his program from literally like the second thing out of his mouth when he became the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. For the communication guy, this is a lapse of communication. Last year you had a player pretty much openly disrespect Zach Taylor, Cordy Glenn, when he basically said, I'm not going to play for you. Carlos Dunlap does it publicly last week and or 2 weeks ago. And then late last week we had Darius Phillips and Sean Williams tweeting about their roles on the team. Now, I understand this team's losing. Guys are frustrated. Fine, I understand. I don't want everybody to be happy with where they are. But that, to me, illustrates blatant disrespect for the head coach.
But last year, all we did was praise Zach Taylor because with two wins, they were playing hard.
Yes,
still.
But there's an expiration for that.
Correct, and that expiration is hit.
Yes.
And now you're seeing the backlash of that because these players who are around the same age as Zach Taylor are sitting there like, this guy's taking my livelihood now, and he's not performing the way that we're expected to perform. So as a player now, you're looking at, okay, well, what's the track record of Zach Taylor? It's not that, well, you know, he's been a coordinator for 15 years in the NFL and he's groomed under this. He was with Sean McVay for what? 2 years?
2 years.
After a 4-8 offensive season with the Bearcats, where they were fifth worst in college football offensively.
13 consecutive quarters without a touchdown.
What is – and now we're acting like he's untouchable? He's coming in now and uprooting guys that have been a namestay on this for this organization. They haven't been in trouble with the law. They haven't ran their mouth in public. They have been pro Bengals their whole career. So you talk about communication, that's lacking. And I would say that's to someone's character when you treat someone that means that much to the organization in that way.
It is remarkable on the interior of the defensive line. We spent the offseason wondering – boy, about the possibilities for Atkins and Reeder playing next to each other.
Yep.
How many snaps were those two guys on the field together before DJ got hurt last week?
Right.
A handful.
Yep.
And then Mike Daniels gets added to the mix, and, you know, that's a former Pro Bowl caliber player. We're thinking about, man, you know, Mike Daniels, Geno Atkins, and DJ Reeder. Daniels hasn't played in forever.
Yeah.
Reeder's not going to play at all this year. And Geno Atkins is a situational third down guy now. That's remarkable, and we're seeing the likes of, right or wrong, Christian Covington, Xavier Williams, and Khalil McKenzie.
Yeah.
On the inside.
And I know we got to get to that. I say, if you think it's bad at 1-4-1, wait till it gets to the bye week and it's 1-7-1.
If
you will lose, you want to talk? Joe Mixon's got $12 million a year now. If that ankle team seems to be, he's not playing.
Right.
You're going to have guys turn away and walk away, and those bumps and bruises become more serious because you let it get to that point.
We have part one of Zach Taylor's press conference. I don't know if this is the part where he says, hey, we're just a couple of ways, couple of plays away from having a really good record. Hey, we're almost there.
Yeah.
We almost won some games. Nonetheless, you will hear it next on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station. Okay, whether we want it or not, here's a Zach Taylor press conference, part one. He met with the media about 45 minutes ago via Zoom at Paul Brown Stadium. This is part one. We'll have part two coming up in just under 1 hour. Taryn, hit it.
Vision standings, or does that not even concern you at all at this point?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, as I get in the playoffs and do all the things we want to do. But right now we're just focused on finding a win.
Jesse Bates said yesterday that Phillip Rivers pretty much knew what the defense was doing. Is that because, I mean, he's a future Hall of Fame quarterback. Is that a testament to him, or is that, you know, just bad defensive play caller?
That's a good question, Tyler. That's an interesting way to phrase that. I do think that when you got a guy who's whatever he's in 17th, 18th year, that has seen a lot of defenses and can use his tells to help him be accurate. It's tough. That's one of the things he does well. That's one of the things I was always concerned about because I played against him now 5 or 6 times and I've seen him do this a number of times. So he's a Hall of Fame quarterback and I didn't see him miss one throw yesterday, whether he knew the coverage or not. He was on point and had a spectacular game. And unfortunately for us, it led to a loss.
Coach, on third down, I think it was maybe half a dozen, a good handful of them were like third and 10 or more. And he got off the hook. How frustrating was that he converted on so many third and longs?
Yeah, that was tough. You know, it's you got to get off the field there and hit a couple on us that are frustrating. You know, that's one that it doesn't deflate you, but you know, you feel like you get him in a good position and then he does it. And it's positive. I remember watching the Chicago game. He does it. You know, they're kind of struggling on the first drive of the game against Chicago. And sure enough, third and 11, he hits a 45-yard corner route down the sideline. And so you know that he's capable of that. He's shown a history of doing it, and he got his yesterday.
Zach, Phillip's kind of struggled throughout this year, and I think that second quarter he had yesterday was the best of his career. I mean, is that concerning at all that you had a guy that was in that kind of form playing that well yesterday, even if it is Phillip Rivers?
Yeah, we certainly have to play better. There's no doubt about it. And we had too many mental errors and put ourselves in some tough positions. So it's a combination of things that we have to improve on. You don't want a quarterback like that can be as accurate as him to catch fire. That is not a fun position to be in, and that's what he did yesterday.
Coach, when you revisited that second half on offense, what did you see and why did it not turn out like the first half did from a point standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, you start with the first drive and we were in a third and one. Felt like we had an opportunity there to convert and we just didn't get it done. And then, we had a really a conversion on a play action. Where then we end up losing some yards. It was kind of a strange play. And then we had the offsides, the false start, third and 11, the sack, you know, and those are really the two that stick out as the two negative drives. Did some positive things, backed up on the minus one, got a field goal on the drive. So there were some things that happened in the second half where we felt like, you know, we almost had points in 7 of our 10 possessions in that game. But ultimately we needed that one more touchdown, you know, and it could have come in a couple different ways. We just didn't get it, settled for field goals and allowed them to get back in the game because, you know, we just didn't quite have that killer instinct on offense.
Coach, you talked a few weeks back about AJ, his time will come. And I think maybe it's a credit to Joe Burrow that it just happened to be AJ's time yesterday, and talk about how you responded to that.
I think that's just an example of a couple of things with this team where we know things that we're capable of and we know they can – you can't, like we said last week, you can't panic. We see that things are able to happen, and the situation with AJ is one of them. You know, we knew. I would have thought that coming out of the Baltimore game, it didn't play out in any way, shape, or form, but I would have thought he would have had 10 catches for 100 yards, just the way that the plan was kind of shaping up and the red zone plan that we had for him. And we just didn't ever get into it, never find our rhythm. So this week, it wasn't surprising to see what happened. And that's really been the message to the players is just remain patient, keep going about your work the right way. AJ has done that. And again, you know, he had a really good game for us yesterday.
Zach, Darius Phillips was tweeting about, you know, it looked like he was tweeting some frustration about, you know, his role in the defense. He had Carlos make some comments yesterday on social media as well. I mean, is that concerning at all when you have guys maybe lashing out publicly about their roles and what their plan is here on defense?
Well, no, there's just some things that, we continue to harp on as a culture, and guys know that our doors are open and you can handle things in a mature way, in a professional way. And we've got a group of guys that I believe in that want to handle things the right way. And sometimes guys get frustrated and they say things ultimately we end up talking through it with everybody on the team. And so it happens sometimes and you wish it didn't, but it does. And that's just the reality that we live in.
Zach Taylor, part one of his press conference from earlier today. Bengals losing to the Indianapolis Colts 31-27, but have no fear. the Bengals have made a move. Mm. They have made a roster decision.
Wow.
They've done something to their team.
Earth-shattering.
And it involves a very familiar name and face. We'll tell you who it is when we come back. Mo Egger, Tony Pike, Bet River Sportsbook, Tony and Mo Football Show from Twin Peaks in Westchester on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
This is the Bet Rivers Sportsbook Tony and Mo Football Show, live from Twin Peaks in Westchester. Brought to you in part by Encore Technologies. Visit Encore.tech, Miami Valley Gaming. Get ready to get lucky at Miami Valley Gaming. Stone Statements. Bring your dream kitchen to life. StoneStatements.com. Nixco Plumbing. Don't go to the average Joe. Call Nixco. Superior Honda. SuperiorHondaStore.com. Simply Superior. Hard Rock Casino. Get in the game. First State Bank. You're at home with us. Life Center. Changing lives through organ and tissue donation. R&L Carriers. Your global transportation provider. Visit RLC.com today. And by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Visit BetRivers.com. This is Cincinnati's ESPN 1530, the official home of the Bengals.
All right, here we go, hour two. It's the Bet River Sportsbook, Tony and Mo Football Show. We're here every Monday, Twin Peaks in Westchester, posted up. Come on out and see us. The weather outside is not good.
But frightful.
We're inside today, as we are every Monday here, so come on in. Socially distanced, safe, beer is cold, food is good, the company is better.
Yes, we're late on our beer as well.
Yeah, we are a little bit late, usually 4 o'clock.
I thought after yesterday you'd be getting after about 3 o'clock today.
I was going to start
maybe
by drinking hard stuff before the show. Hey, we have good news. Bengals lose. They blow a 21-0 lead. And you're thinking, man, it really couldn't get any worse. It feels like the 90s again. It's going to be a fifth straight losing season. No. Charging into Cincinnati.
Yep.
On his white horse. Margus Hunt is back.
The Estonian,
the shot putter.
Yeah.
Margus Hunt, who earlier this season was with the Saints, played in 4 games, didn't do anything.
1.5 sacks in what, 4 years here?
1.5 sacks in 4 seasons as a Bengal. He went to Indianapolis and 2 years ago was actually pretty productive.
Yeah.
Had 5 sacks in a limited role, did a nice job there. Margus, if you don't recall, was drafted by the Bengals in 2013, second round pick. 26 years old, out of SMU. He's from Estonia.
Yeah.
And remember, the shot putter, they made a big deal. I remember when they drafted him and, like, watching the draft, like, oh, the Bengals drafted this guy. There's 2 things you need to know about him. Number one, he blocks a lot of kicks.
Yeah.
Like, man, I'm here for blocking kicks. That's great. You jump to the second round because you blocked a lot of kicks.
Usually, you fall. Like, if that's the case, Ethan Tuckey's going to be a number one draft.
Right. Number two, this guy's a great shot putter. And I'm like, you know what? If they reconstruct overtime that the games are going to be settled by a shot putting contest, fantastic. The hell does shot putting have to do with the NFL? Was it turned out he and his bad haircut played for the Bengals for 4 years. He was terrible. He's now 33 years old. They've cut loose Andrew Brown, by the way.
Yeah.
I've already forgotten that he played for the Bengals. Margus Hunt is
back.
Yeah.
He's back. And what are the chances he plays more than Carlos Dunlap this week?
Probably pretty good.
Man, can you imagine if he does?
If he
gets more snaps than Dunlap this week, things are going to go bad in a hurry. They're going to go worse in a hurry.
They can't
go bad because, you know, at the end of the day, this team's a few good plays away from being
That's right.
a lot better with their record.
Yeah.
4-2 they could be with a couple plays going their way.
The Zach Taylor thing.
We should get paid more money to do this show than what we do. When we have to cover this team year in and year out. Game in and game out. I need to work with my agent a little bit. What are we? It's like the teacher dragging the nails across the chalkboard.
My friend, this is week 6. You got 11 more Mondays.
Gosh.
What are we going to talk about after the bye? That show will be fun.
No, the fun thing last year, though, is like we were talking about what the future holds.
Uh-huh.
And now we're talking about, well, the future's here, and this team's 1-4-1. We're already talking about who's next to coach this team.
Yes. Yes.
6 games into the season.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive guru hired because of the job he did with Jared Goff and the Rams, and he learned under Sean McVay for 2 years.
When I watch certain NFL teams. I'll watch the Kansas City Chiefs tonight. And I've always believed, and look, this is easier.
We're going to broadcast the game.
Yeah, this is here. This is easier to say now because he's got Patrick Mahomes and he won a championship last year. But if you have followed the career of Andy Reid, the reputation he has carved out for being really good at running an offense, game planning, play calling. By the way, his clock management at times has been woeful. But you feel like whatever team he's coaching, obviously forever in Philadelphia, now at Kansas City, there is a certain tactical edge you gain by having Andy Reid on the sideline. A tactical edge. Okay? Mike Tomlin. I think Mike Tomlin's also not great at managing games.
He gives him an edge.
Say what you want about it. You know,
he's a motivator.
His teams play, and they play with an edge. They play with an attitude. I know Bengals fans don't want to hear that. Oh, they play dirty. Well, they show up and they play the Bengals, and they're ready to punch him in the face, and the Bengals usually take it. Give me the team that walks into the stadium with the mentality of we're going to punch them in the face.
Yeah.
I know when Mike Tomlin's teams – I know with Mike Tomlin, I know what I'm going to get.
We talked about Mike Tomlin for years is that when it's – when the Pittsburgh Bengals – it was a different week for Mike Tomlin, and it was always the same for the Bengals.
Sure. Yes, and the results pretty much were the same.
It's all positive.
I think Mike Vrabel is developing a reputation for game management, preparation, overcoming stuff. I'm looking – I want to know this. What does Zach Taylor do well? You're not going to do everything well, especially when you're head coach slash play caller. And, yes, you have to grow into those jobs. I completely understand that. We've had 22 games. We've had 22 games. What does Zach Taylor do well? Yeah. Where do the Bengals have an edge, whether it's on Sunday, whether it's during the week, whether it's in the film room, whether it's game, whatever it is, where do the Bengals have an advantage ahead of the other teams in their division or ahead of their opponents on Sunday because Zach Taylor is the head coach of this football team?
Locker room positivity. That's it. Mm. Because here's the thing. Here's what the Bengals were hoping for. Sunday night football last night. They were hoping for Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan. It's not there. Mm-hmm. He's not them. I'd say what you want. But you go across it. You mentioned the identity, and you mentioned what they do really well. How about the top teams in the NFL? Just go through a handful. Tampa Bay, good defensively.
Very good defensively.
Can run the ball. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady can do the rest. The Packers, you know what you're getting. Why are the Packers successful? Because they've developed a running game, and they can have balance, and they have Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. But go through these other teams that are having success. We talked about what the Steelers do well. The Chicago Bears have the best defensive line in football. Mm-hmm. That's what they do well. Tennessee Titans, what do they do well? Hard nose, run the ball down
Derrick
your throat.
Derrick Henry, yeah.
Yep.
And they've turned Ryan Tannehill into a top 10 quarterback.
The Chiefs, the Bills, the teams playing tonight, the Cowboys. What do all, those teams all have something that they hang their hat on? And if you want to be successful, you have to have that. The Browns are 4-2. Kevin Stefanski has an offensive scheme that you hang your hat on. Zach Taylor doesn't have any of that. And we're just sitting here, 3-18-1, and we think that it's magically going to happen at some point now?
If 22 games in, you have to ask. It's like people who ask, well, can I afford that? If you have to ask if you can afford something, you can, right? My wife and I live by that rule. Mm-hmm. If we have to ask ourselves, God, can we afford that? We don't buy it.
Right.
If you have to ask 22 games in, what value does our head coach bring? Is he the guy? Chances are better than not that he's not the guy.
Right.
And look, if you think Zach Taylor is going to be a great coach, I don't know what that's based on, but fine. But if you're still sitting here going, God, I don't know. What is the harm in moving on? The Cleveland Browns did it. Freddie Kitchens, we all kind of went along with it, right? They got about midway through their season. It was abundantly clear last year, this is not an NFL head coach.
Right.
And the Cleveland Browns, say what you want about that disaster of a franchise over the last 20 years. They went, you know what? We screwed up.
That's the thing. You got to be willing to say, hey, I screwed up.
Let's hit the eject button. By the way, Freddie Kitchens may, I doubt this happens, may go on and coach somewhere else and prove the Browns wrong. Okay, fine. But it wasn't working. Maybe you think Zach Taylor's going to work, but the reason to keep him can't be, well, let's
wait and see.
He deserves some time, you know, he's a good guy. No. There is no harm in admitting, you know what, I made a mistake.
Got it wrong.
If you're in a bad relationship, you don't say to the other person, hey, let's hang in this. Let's just stick it out for no. It's a bad relationship. Better for you, better for me. We move on.
You don't have
why
equity.
Why can't you do? He's no equity. He's got no equity to cash in. I don't know what he does well. The team stinks. The players are questioning him. But we have to keep the guy around.
Right. Play the reverse roles here. If they had went with Eric Bieniemy when they hired Zach Taylor, Bieniemy has some equity built up.
Sure.
Because he's done it for a while across the league. Zach Taylor, what was the equity? 4-8 at UC? A stint with Sean McVay? What else? And from the instant he comes in, and not only does he take the job, but then he vouches for Jim Turner. I got to have him. That's my guy. Checkered pass. He's my guy. It'll pay off.
So
Lou Anarumo's the guy. Zach Taylor is not being held accountable to what's going on the field. And for the Bengals, that means they would have to come out, Mo, and say, you know what? We got it wrong. We know he didn't have a track record at UC, but we thought we were going to strike while the iron was hot because he was the young offensive-minded coach. It didn't pan out, so we are moving in a different direction, and no fan for the Bengals would come out and have a problem with that right now because they're admitting that they made a mistake. The problem becomes when you come back and say, yeah, you know what? Let's wait and just see if he pans out, and we're sitting here at the end of next year having the same conversation, and now it's like, well, you know what? Joe Burrow's only got 2 years left. He'll be out of here as quick as humanly possible. He's not going to want to stay around for a rebuild. And then you lose everything you had with drafting Joe Burrow number one overall.
Stay on that theme because I want to come back to it and bring up the Freddie Kitchens thing again. It's 18 minutes after 4 o'clock. He's Tony Pike. I'm Mo Egger. Bet River Sportsbook, Tony and Mo Football Show. We've got the rest of the league to look at, some curious coaching decisions yesterday, a lot more on the Bengals game against the Colts yesterday afternoon. And in a league defined by parity, there is an insane number of teams who could be in the hunt for the number one overall pick in the draft. The Bengals, I don't think, will be that team that gets it, but let's have fun exploring what could and should happen if they do. We'll do that coming up. We're already there. We're six games in. We're already
talking about the number one overall pick.
We're talking about what would happen if they got the number one overall pick. He's Tony Pike. I'm Mo Egger. Bet River Sportsbook. Tony and Mo Football Show from Twin Peaks in Westchester here till 6. Come on out and see us. This is ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
RDI Corporation presents Football in the Natty. Brought to you in part by Papa John's Pizza on ESPN 1530, the official home of the Bengals.
Marcus Hunt is back. There's your Football in the Natty news. Bengals signed him for some reason. They let Andrew Brown go. So, welcome back to Cincinnati. I'm currently taking a picture of the beer that I just got.
You know, last week on this show, I had like 6 pages of notes.
You did?
In front of me.
Today, nothing.
Today, I have a beer.
Just going to freestyle
just
it with a
beer in front of me. 1-4-1 will do it to you.
Yeah, there is no doubt about that. God, there's so many different directions I can go. And we were talking before the break about making the comparison between Freddie Kitchens and the situation in Cleveland last year. And Freddie Kitchens might not ever be a head coach again. My guess is he won't. If he were to go on and have success elsewhere, well, then, you know, the Browns will have to wear that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Zach Taylor goes on and has success here as the head coach of the Bengals or somewhere else if they were ever to move on from him. Maybe. What I can tell you about the two guys both being hired is this. When the Browns hired Kitchens,
yep,
he had called the plays the second half of the season after the Browns let Hugh Jackson go.
Really successfully.
Yes. And when they made him the head coach, this was in the middle of this, you know, offseason where they bring in Odell Beckham Jr. and they're mm-hmm. really active in the offseason. And then the head coach thing was just sort of Baker likes him. And I remember going, okay, maybe he does, but shouldn't this be a little bit more of a scientific process than Baker likes him?
Yep.
Interesting. Interesting that the process did not pay off. The Bengals let Marvin Lewis go. And I trust me, I'm not going to walk back what I said about the Bengals moving on from Marvin Lewis. I wanted it to happen, going back to 2017. So mm-hmm. they do. But the whole conversation in the weeks leading up to Marvin's inevitable departure and then immediately thereafter was, okay, the profile you're kind of looking for, maybe somebody who's offensive, maybe a little bit more aggressive, younger, you're seeing that work. And it's kind of the way the process appeared. And I know they interviewed a bunch of different guys. Darren Simmons got an interview. Eric Bieniemy got an interview. There were a handful of others. We read the name Dan Munkin. But it was, young offensive guy. Zach Taylor's a young offensive guy.
Yep.
Plus, he's got the Sean McVay dust. I'm not going to say the Bengals didn't go through a thorough process involving all their head coaches, but that's how it appeared.
Correct.
So now, what did I see with Freddie Kitchens? I think Zach Taylor's a more mature person than Freddie Kitchens. I think Freddie Kitchens is a dope. But they admitted, essentially, by letting him go, you know what?
Got it wrong.
The process has to be a little bit more detailed and thorough than, well, Baker likes him. With the Bengals, I just can't help but wonder, shouldn't the process have been a little bit more detailed than young offensive guy, Sean McVay, Zach Taylor?
Yep.
Right?
Like in the,
is that unfair?
In the interview, did they say, hey, why did you have the fifth worst offense in the country at UC? What happened there? How are you going to handle this? How are you going to handle that? Because, look, the guys you've mentioned had success at the NFL level. Hugh Jackson had success calling plays for the Bengals. Freddie Kitchens had wild success in that second half of the season with Baker Mayfield. Zach Taylor doesn't have that pedigree. He doesn't have the track record. So you look around and you just wonder, okay, what is it going to take for this franchise to say, you know what, we messed up. Hey, we got this wrong. We're going to get it right. Because here's the small window you have. Coaches would want to come coach Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. They would want to coach the weapons that are possessed here by the Cincinnati Bengals, and instead you're just going to ride this thing out and hope maybe Zach Taylor gets it figured out.
They may be completely enamored with Zach. They may be. Duke Tobin might be. Troy Blackburn, God knows you have to respect his football opinion. He may be completely enamored with Zach Taylor. Katie Blackburn may be completely enamored with Zach Taylor. The Blackburn's daughter, who now works for the team, may be completely enamored with Zach. Mike Brown himself, maybe they are. And if so, proceed with the guy. But if you are starting to have doubts, we've talked a lot over the last 2 years about the Bengals doing things that are kind of off-brand, right? Mm-hmm. Trading down in the draft, the Cordy Glenn thing didn't work, but it was an aggressive move that we don't associate with the Bengals. The money they spent in free agency this offseason, being active, it's not something we associate with the Bengals, but doing something outside of their comfort zone was refreshing. Cutting loose players who have time left on their deals. Why can't that continue with how you feel about the head coach and moving on from him? What we don't know is, what is the reaction to Zach's work in the front office? How does Duke Tobin feel? Guy never talks on the record. How do the Brown family and Blackburn family feel? They never talk on the record. But if you are starting to have any degree of hesitation, and this is starting to unravel, get out in front of it, which is what the Browns did, and move on.
Yeah. By moving on from it, you give your organization a window of a chance. Because when Joe Burrow was drafted, we both said the same thing on draft night. Now you have the window where you can spend and build around Joe Burrow for 4 or 5 years. Once that time is done, what are you going to pay him Patrick Mahomes money and then build around him? Like, the money's just going to go up. So you have a small window. Here's the avenue that we haven't explored that I concern myself with. Zach Taylor was hired without any experience. Zach Taylor was hired struggling as an offensive coordinator at UC. He spent 2 years with Sean McVay. What if the top of the organization wanted more control than what they got with Marvin?
What if it's completely plausible.
What if the other candidates that were interviewed, when Mike Brown of the organization said, we want our hand in this, they said, you're out of your mind, move on. And then Zach Taylor comes in, no background, no pedigree, and they say, hey, we'll make you the head coach, but at the end of the day, we pull the strings. Mm-hmm. So what if it's Duke Tobin that's saying, hey, Dunlap, you got to pull him back? Mm-hmm. That's Zach Taylor's head out there, but they gave Zach Taylor a job when really he wasn't qualified or ready to have that job. And let's not act like head coach. You got to hire coordinator. You got to make team decisions. You got to make in-game decisions. It's not just calling the plays.
Yeah.
But what if it's the avenue of, okay, we'll hire you, Zach, but here's what we want in return. And basically Zach Taylor is just this man out in front that's being told what to do by everyone at the top of the organization.
I think there's some there's some validity to what you just outlined for this simple reason. When Marvin Lewis was here, for the better part of the last 10 years of his tenure, I can't tell you how many times I would hear the discussion about control. Mm-hmm. Marvin needs control. Marvin's going to get less control. Marvin's going to get more control. Marvin's going to have the football team wrestled away from him by Mike Brown. That Marvin wants more input. Marvin, more control. I mean, if you were here for that, you heard those conversations.
Yep.
We would make fun of that on the radio all the time, the conversation about control. So if there was a division between the front office and the old head coach based on the amount of control the old head coach wanted, and part of the reason he's no longer here is that you weren't willing to give him more control, mm-hmm. you are not going to hire somebody that you're going to give more control than his predecessor to.
I mean,
you're going to give Zach Taylor's going to have less control.
The more
and
we
maybe
talk
he
about
have
it,
less
the more we talk about it, the more plausible it is.
Of course.
Because now you start to piece the rest together. He's terrible at in-game play calling right now. He's in over his head. Who cares? We have a guy that's just happy to be the coach of an NFL franchise. As well he should be with his track record. That doesn't happen in the NFL.
Yeah.
You got to be a journeyman. You got to work up to that. Zach Taylor was plucked from obscurity because of the name Sean McVay, and now all of a sudden it's a guy that can be controlled. Hey, we got our guy. Look at Zach Taylor, offensive guru, but really behind the scenes, hey, this is what you're going to do. And both sides are happy.
If Zach Taylor is the head coach of this team next year, don't you have to find somebody to call the plays?
That's a must.
I mean, doesn't it feel to you like
somebody's got to call the plays outside of the bye week?
Doesn't it feel to you right now like the enormity of everything that's on Zach's plate right now is just a little bit too big for him?
Yes.
We wondered about this last year. We're wondering about it this year. If he's the head coach next year, we can't still be having the same conversation, right?
Well, if we're having this conversation next year, then we're good luck finding a place to have the show. I don't know if we'll have a Tony and Mo football show because that would require that there be a football team here. Who you got? You got Clemson Saturday night or the Bengals yesterday? Who wins one-on-one right now?
I mean, the Bengals would win the game, but we should
talk
about
Trevor Lawrence. Oh,
well,
boy.
All right, hold that
thought. Yeah, now we're going to go into that. We'll
spend some time on that wormhole coming up at 5:05. It's 26 away from 5 o'clock. Hey, stick around in about 10 minutes.
Oh,
part two.
You know what's in part two. We get to hear it.
This is where we're going to hear what he – if you weren't even here with us an hour ago, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to want to hate listen to Zach Taylor press conference for what's coming up at 4:45. And, again, just you – if you're in your car, pull over.
Yeah, brace yourself.
Brace yourself. Because what he says at 4:45
– Earth-shattering.
If you're like me, it's – it's going to want to make you drive into a ditch. He's Tony Pike. I'm Mo Egger. Bet River Sportsbook. Tony and Mo Football Show. 25 from 5. ESPN 1530. Cincinnati Sports Station.
You've been listening to Football in the Natty. Presented by RDI Corporation on ESPN 1530. The official home of the Bengals.
18 minutes away from 5 o'clock, it's the Bet River Sportsbook, Tony and Mo Football Show, Twin Peaks and Westchester. A couple of things really quickly. Marcus Hunt is back. Bengals signed him. They've cut loose Andrew Brown. Nick Kroll, who was the Reds GM, is now the Reds president of baseball operations, which used to be the job belonging to Dick Williams. The Bet River Sportsbook, Tony and Mo Football Show from Twin Peaks is a service of Hawksworth Blood Centers. Hawksworth donors save lives. Who will you save? And by Mercy Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, caring for athletes across greater Cincinnati. For more from Mercy Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, here's Tony.
All right, thanks, Mo. It's time now, as we do every Monday, to spend a few minutes getting our injury questions answered. We do so thanks to Mercy Health. For you to find out more of your injury questions, go to mercy.com. We are joined from Mercy Health by Dr. Matt Bosom today, as we are every Monday. Doc, what's going on?
Just living the dream, Tony.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. We're at this point of the season now where we're entering flu season. And if you look at the CDC and you look at symptoms of the flu and symptoms of COVID, those two things go pretty much hand in hand. And unfortunately, I think COVID is going to be a factor going forward, both in the NFL and at the college level. And we saw that this week with Nick Saban, the head coach from Alabama, who earlier last week
had a positive test. He was coaching from home, and yet just days later, he has the the positive for COVID. Then he has the negative test, and he's still able to coach in that game against Georgia this weekend. So, how do we explain the quick turnaround from a positive to a negative for Nick Saban?
Well, I think there are two things at play here. Number one, we always have to acknowledge that there, in the world of college football and the world of sports, there are the haves and have-nots. And Alabama is a have, and some of the other sports that we follow may be have-nots. So Nick Saban had a positive test on Wednesday of last week and reported no symptoms. And in the current SEC protocol, if you are entirely asymptomatic, three negative tests over the next 3 to 5 days can get you out of quarantine.
Yeah, right.
And in the state of Alabama, Nick Saban is the highest priority of anyone in the state of Alabama, one could argue. So he immediately had another test run by another lab that was negative. Then he had another one 24 hours after that, and another one 24 hours after that. And so a lot of people will say, well, goodness, why can't we do that with everybody? Well, number one, it costs money to do that. Number two, finding a lab that can turn a test around that quickly is a challenge, and doing it on a large scale becomes incredibly difficult. So we're talking about one person who's got resources and access to other people with resources. And so he was able to test out per SEC testing protocol. He got out of quarantine with three negative tests, and so then they go back to Wednesday and say Nick Saban's original test was probably what we would call a false positive, meaning he did not have COVID, but a test said that he did.
Lastly, on the COVID side of things, when you look, as I mentioned earlier, we're heading into cold and flu season, and every year that I've been a part of the University of Cincinnati, whether playing or traveling with the team to do sideline reporting, you have one or two games where you get on the plane and half the team's wearing masks and they got to get IVs and they're playing sick. Well, you look at those symptoms and you look at COVID symptoms, they're so much alike. Do you see this becoming a little bit dicey at all as we go forward just based on symptoms and flu season coming upon us?
The benefit, yes, the symptoms can mimic each other. The benefit we have is that as more testing becomes available for COVID, and there are newer and better tests coming out all the time. I was on a Major League Soccer call about a saliva test yesterday, which can be pretty exciting potentially. There's a lot of different testing that's available, so the guys are going to get tested a lot. But we also have what we call point-of-care testing for influenza, the seasonal flu, which means you can get swabbed and tested and have an answer within several minutes, and that's been around for a long time. So I would be very, very sure that the medical doctors and the team physicians and athletic trainers who are managing these groups are looking at symptomatic individuals and testing them for everything,
right,
and keeping their fingers crossed.
Right.
The other thing that we're really hoping, Tony, and this is, you know, an orthopedist speaking toward public health, which is probably like you as a quarterback speaking toward defensive backfield, but we know a little bit, is that the social distancing, the mask wear, and the general adherence to hygiene protocols, as well as people being diligent about getting vaccinated for seasonal influenza, can potentially reduce the impact of that disease during this time.
Right.
So listen to your doctors, listen to the scientists, and do the best you can to keep everybody safe. That's my last piece of advice.
We sure hope that that is working going forward. We appreciate your time, as always, on a Monday. Dr. Matt Bosom. Let's run this back next week, and hopefully let's do it after a Bengals win for once.
Sounds good, Tony. Have a great day.
Awesome.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
That is our Mercy Minute presented by our friends at Mercy Health. For more on your injury questions, simply go to mercy.com.
All right, Tony, thanks so much. We thank Dr. Bosom and Mercy Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Now stand by for part two of the Zach Taylor press conference, and then we have hour where it's just you and I.
You know what the great thing about this is? This is kind of like Zach Taylor's resume right now. We're only doing like 10% of this show. It's like 10% of the job. This is fantastic. Win 10% of the time.
Well, no. Doing it the way Zach Taylor would be like, had I never been a radio host before or a broadcast engineer,
yeah,
and yet I told Mike Mills, go home, I'm going to be the broadcast engineer and the host and the expert former player analyst.
And you'll be close, just a few plays. A
couple of plays away. Hey, we're a couple of minutes away from hearing Zach Taylor talking about being a couple of plays away. You'll hear that next on ESPN 1530. From 5 o'clock, Pet River Sportsbook, Tony and Mo Football Show. We're at Twin Peaks in Westchester here till 6 o'clock. We're here every single Monday Bengals losing to the Colts yesterday afternoon, 31-27. We have a lot more for Tony and I to talk about and dissect, including what could happen if this season ends up being just as bad, if not worse, than last season. But before we do any of that, it's time for part two of Zach Taylor's Monday afternoon press conference.
Time for the Zach Taylor press conference, brought to you in part by Climate Master Geothermal Heat Pump Systems on ESPN 1530, the official home of the Bengals.
What does Carlos maybe need to show you to get more snaps? I mean, obviously 2 weeks ago you made the change with Carl, but then Sam gets hurt and he kind of has a reduced role again. What does he need to show you guys?
You know, we evaluate all of our guys every single week. Who's making plays, who's doing things to help the offense, help the defense, and that's all that goes into those evaluations every week.
Coach, how big of a pain in the ass is social media?
You know, that's part of the world we live in right now. It's one of those things you don't fight it. It is what it is. It's my generation. It's the generation just beneath me. You know, I understand it. It doesn't always put you in a great position, but that's one of those things that you got to deal with. You got to manage it. Keep educating the guys, you know, that everything you say is going to get magnified, whether you really feel it or you don't. And it's things you got to answer for. It's things other people got to answer for. But again, it's the day and age that we're in. And it just, you know, ultimately protect the team. That's one thing we just ask of our players is protect the team. Don't put us in a position where other guys on the team have to answer for you. And that's one of the things we'll continue to harp on.
Zach, is there anything new on the players who were nicked up?
Not yet. You know, nothing alarming right now. You know, it's still waiting to get some information. But right now, nothing to report today.
What do you think of LaShawn Sims and Darius Phillips yesterday? And what are you looking for in that second cornerback spot on the outside?
Yeah, I think overall it wasn't the best performance from our corners yesterday. I think there's been some games when they've played well and they've done some good things for us. And, you know, it's things I know that they're accountable for and will get corrected. And, you know, again, it's when a guy's as accurate as Philip Rivers are, it magnifies things, you know. And again, it's all tied together as well. It's we got to do a better job getting a rush on the quarterback on first, second, and third down to put pressure on him so that guys don't have to hold up as long in the back end. And it all ties together.
Zach, which is makes sense.
You've been very consistent, Zach, in talking about patience, yeah. Not panicking. Those have been your messages here, not just this year, but also last year. I'm curious, though, as a head coach, when the losses start to build, does the pressure start to build on you personally? Does pressure start to amplify when you're not winning?
You can't allow it to. It's just you don't have that choice. You gotta stick with what you believe in and building the team the right way, not panicking. You know, it's we're a couple plays away from having a really good record, but we just haven't made those plays, haven't made those calls. Again, we're all in this thing together. So, again, I understand the situation we put ourselves in. With our record over the last 2 years, but I also know how capable we are of getting this thing turned quickly to where a lot more people jump back on the bandwagon and want to be a part of it. But again, we have to hold together in this locker room, in this building like we have been, and just get to that point where we can start to enjoy the success of all the work we put in.
Zach, when does your team have to start winning games to make sure that you're not on the hot seat?
That is not something that I worry about. It's just, again, not doing things just because you panic or you feel like you're in a hot seat, whatever it is. So now you start acting differently, doing different things. That's not part of the foundation that we're going to build here for the remainder of this season and for long term. You know, and you got to do it the right way. And I believe that we have a bunch of people in this building who believe in what we're doing and how we're doing it, and that they see how quickly this tide could turn. You know, there's really four plays and four of these games we've played where the conversations are much different. And it's just a matter of us putting the guys in the opportunities to be able to make those plays. And then when they are making the plays, and again, the conversations can turn. And so, again, we just have to keep evaluating the tape, making sure that we make the corrections to where we improve every single week so that we can start winning these close games that we're just not pulling out yet.
Coach, at this stage of his career, is Geno Atkins a third down specialist for you?
Well, I think coming off the injury for us, that's how he started out, you know, to ease him back into the fold. And, you know, I think the world of Geno and the work that he puts in to get himself ready from that injury. And So again, we'll continue to look at his role from week to week to make sure we're doing what's best for him in his role in the defense. And so I would never rule anything out. It's just that's the way that the last 2 weeks have played out with Geno.
Zach, you talked about having the door open for guys when they want to talk about certain things. What about guys who maybe don't walk through that door? How do you handle those guys?
Yeah, that's where you got to continue to talk with the leadership on this team. You know, we got really about 70 guys on the team, and you know, you try to make sure that you're in touch with as many as you can, as often as you can, and just that's the approach that we take. And it's not always easy. You know, some guys aren't as comfortable talking, and I get that. That's the world you live in, but. We'll just keep working to make sure that we have that open communication with everybody.
Are you satisfied with the self-policing?
Go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I'm sorry. Are you satisfied with the self-policing that the leadership is performing for you?
I think there's a lot of great examples of it, and I get a lot of trust in our guys in the locker room. And I think that we're in good shape there.
Zach, I don't know if we talked about this yesterday. Was Mixon available for that last drive?
In the last drive. Yeah, he was.
I mean, injury-wise, I mean, where is he at going into this week? Because I think Gio was on the field for a lot of that final drive.
Yeah. You know, there weren't a lot of runs. There was one run called in that drive, and sometimes that's just the way it shakes out with how we substitute guys. It was more of a two-minute mindset there. Just waiting to get more information on Joe Ben, to be honest with you. I don't have the full information yet. I think we'll probably find out more later today or early tomorrow.
Zach, the trade deadline is 2 weeks from tomorrow. I know it's not something this organization typically does, but could you envision a scenario where you guys are players on either the buying or selling side this year?
I think that, you know, upstairs, they always do a really good job of evaluating what's best for the team. And so whether that involves trades or not, you know, I think that that's always talked through and thorough, and ultimately make the best decisions for the club. And so that's where we're at.
Zach, how involved are you in that process? Because obviously if, you know, the people upstairs make that decision, that impacts you on the ground floor.
Yeah, there's always great dialogue. I mean, we talk every single day. And so nobody's ever caught off guard by anything.
This has been the Zach Taylor Press Conference on ESPN 1530, the official home of the Bengals.
There you go. Zach Taylor's Monday afternoon press conference, the day after the Bengals blow a 21-0 lead against the Indianapolis Colts and fall 31-27.
At 3-18-1, I'm glad to hear that they're not changing anything. No. You don't want to coach different. We don't want more of a sense of urgency. No. Steady as the course.
Yeah.
Steady as the course.
It's 5 o'clock. It's the Bet River Sportsbook Tony and Mo football show.
Comes the golden hour. No interruptions.
No, we have.
We actually have to work this hour.
Work is a term that you're using very loosely. Nonetheless, there is a lot to talk about. This league is typically defined by parity, the NFL.
Yeah.
We're not seeing it this year, which could make the race for the number one overall pick quite interesting.
Mm.
And we'll spend some time talking about that, I guess.
And Steve Wolf's here.
Steve Wolf.
Steve Wolf is here. He'll answer all your crosstown shootout questions.
He's, you know, you talk about somebody who's worked really hard behind the scenes to make sure the game happened.
Yeah.
Steve.
Wolf.
Yeah.
There he is.
Exactly. All right. We have to get a break in. It's 5 o'clock. Bet River Sportsbook, Tony and Mo football show here at Twin Peaks in Westchester on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
This is the Bet Rivers Sportsbook Tony and Mo Football Show, live from Twin Peaks in Westchester. Brought to you in part by Encore Technologies. Visit Encore.tech, Miami Valley Gaming. Get ready to get lucky at Miami Valley Gaming. Stone Statements. Bring your dream kitchen to life. StoneStatements.com. Nixco Plumbing. Don't go to the average Joe. Call Nixco. Superior Honda. SuperiorHondaStore.com. Simply Superior. Hard Rock Casino. Get in the game. First State Bank. You're at home with us. Life Center. Changing lives through organ and tissue donation. R&L Carriers. Your global transportation provider. Visit RLC.com today. And by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Visit BetRivers.com. This is Cincinnati's ESPN 1530, the official home of the Bengals.
Here we go. It's the final hour, the power hour.
Golden hour.
Golden hour of the Tony and Mo Football Show, Bet River Sportsbook. Tony and Mo Football Show. We're here every single Monday at Twin Peaks in Westchester. Come on out and see us, if not today, perhaps some other Monday. We're here
every Monday
until the end of the football season. So you have plenty of time to plan. And if you're looking for a place to post up, the first of two NFL games tonight has just gotten underway in Buffalo. It's the Chiefs and Bills, followed up by tonight, Andy Dalton making his first start at quarterback of the Cowboys. They get set to take on the Arizona Cardinals. Great place to watch football tonight. World Series is this week. Hopefully UC plays this week. That 9 p.m. tip-off, Ohio State's in action this week. So if you're thinking about, you know, we're going to go watch games this weekend, maybe one night this week, this is the place. Twin Peaks, Westchester, right off I-75, the Union Center Boulevard exit, and you are good to go. Yes, I would love a refill. Thank you.
What are you drinking?
That would be a Coca-Cola. Yes, thanks. Very, very good. So anyway, Bengals lose 31-27. Let's quickly review some stuff from yesterday's game, because we've hammered the Zach Taylor thing pretty emphatically throughout the afternoon.
Right.
But getting back to yesterday, just a couple of things for me. 28-27, ball at the 30, third and one. All the different places you could have gone with the football, mm-hmm. and you decide to call a fullback dive for Samaje Perine, who most people in this bar did not even know was on the team.
No. Your offensive line, and to the credit, when building the 21-0 lead, the offensive line played really well. The running game was in sync.
There was a little of everything.
Joe Burrow was looking great.
Deep
AJ
pass
Green,
to T. Higgins.
Yes, on a blitz.
Yeah.
Imagine that, a max protect on a blitz.
Right.
Defenders were sitting at the sticks, like the Bengals have shown every week, and they go deep. I love seeing all of that. And yet, here we are today talking because on third and one, the most influential play of the game, this team decided it was in their best interest to give Samaje Perine a fullback dive up the middle. And Zach Taylor, when asked about it, didn't go into any big detail of, well, we saw this from the defense and this is why we did this. He simply said it was a fullback dive. We thought that was the best play. That was their best option. Not their $12 million a year running back, Joe Mixon. Not Giovanni Bernard. Not T. Higgins, A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, Joe Burrow, who had scored from the two-yard line on a sneak earlier.
Yeah.
You needed 1 yard, and you turn and give it to a guy that's 2 yards away from the line of scrimmage. 2 yards. You didn't need an inch. It was a full yard.
Mm-hmm.
Completely mismanaged. It shows what we've talked about from Zach Taylor all day. Just in those situations, those are when some coaches thrive and other coaches struggle, and he clearly struggles when the game's tight.
Granted, if Bullock makes the kick, the whole sequence plays differently. Maybe the whole game plays differently, but the game is hanging in the balance. A fullback dive to Samaje Perine.
Yeah.
That's just not where I'm going with the ball. The
not
other
the
one,
answer.
And you and I were texting about it in real time yesterday, the Bengals are driving. They get the ball, full slate of timeouts, 3:57 to go. Burrow drives him into Indianapolis territory. He connects on a 4th-and-9 pass to A.J. Green. I am feeling really good.
Great.
In that moment, there's two timeouts left. They had used one before the fourth down play. There's two timeouts to go. The clock is ticking. They throw a couple of passes for 2 yards. The whole thing looked a little discombobulated. That's a situation where with a rookie quarterback especially, and a lot of guys who together have not been in that situation, I'm using a timeout to calm everybody down, kind of manage what's ahead, go through scenarios, call plays.
Yep.
Instead, Zach Taylor took the timeouts with him on the bus.
Felt rushed in a situation. Look, and the way the drive started, you either go quick – so you can save the timeouts like we talked about earlier, or you utilize those timeouts. That the fourth down play, A.J. Green, that's an emotional play. They're bringing an all-out blitz. You got one-on-one with A.J. Green. You have to throw the ball before he gets out of his break. You take a hit, and then you're expected to get up with all those emotions and then keep playing. At some point, the head coach, the offensive coordinator, the guy who's supposed to manage these players, needs to step up and say, that's a rookie quarterback. Let me burn a timeout. Let's get a game plan. Just breathe. Relax. Here's what we're looking for. Here's what we've seen from the defense on this drive. These are the plays we like. This is when you need to spike the ball. This is when we need to get the ball out of it. All of that stuff is what should have been done during a timeout. Instead, we keep running around like crazy, and then you rush. Joe Burrow doesn't see a defender on the backside. Interception, game over, and you don't even have a chance to make a play down the stretch. Mismanaged is an understatement of the world right now with how that game finished.
We've talked a lot about Zach Taylor today.
He didn't even use him during his press conference.
Yeah, we thought maybe he would use him. Maybe he'll use him during Wednesday's press conference. Maybe he thinks he can take those two timeouts and use them against the Browns. Have five in the first half. Yeah. We've talked a lot about Zach Taylor specifically today. You and I went into this season saying, I think most Bengals fans nodded in agreement. Six wins, going to be pretty happy with the season. Six wins, we're not going to have, we might have some doubt about Zach Taylor, but we're not going to be having conversations about him not coming back for year number three. We're going to feel good about what the Bengals did getting return on their investment. We're going to feel good about the Bengals tripling their win total from last year. To get to six wins, this team has to finish 5-5.
Yeah.
You're laughing. You don't think they can go 5-5?
No chance.
Okay. In the absence of six wins for the year, 6-9-1, that was what we said at the beginning of the – and by the way, not 5-10-1.
Right.
Like that tie is a loss. Six wins was going to be a successful season. What is the threshold? If we're judging Zach Taylor by winning and losing games, what would be the threshold that he has to cross to avoid any offseason conversation about his job security?
Got to get to five. Has to get to five to avoid that conversation.
So that means 4-6 the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't win this week, good luck finding the four.
So the schedule still has, and we'll see what happens with Baker Mayfield this week. He was taken out of yesterday's game. He went into it with bruised ribs, and then the Pittsburgh Steelers kicked the crap out of him. The Bengals still have two games against Pittsburgh. They will be underdogs in both. They will have a game against the Baltimore Ravens. They will be underdogs in that one. Tennessee is going to be underdog in that one. Cleveland beat them once. They don't have Nick Chubb. And now we'll see what happens.
3.5-point underdog.
3.5-point underdog at home. Above and beyond that, they have games against the Giants and Washington, which are both, I think we would say, beatable opponents. Miami is interesting because I feel like they have their coach.
Yeah. They win two out of those three in that stretch, I fully believe.
Washington, New York, and
Miami. They get two of those.
Okay, so they get two of those.
That's three.
There's three victories.
Find me the other two.
That's the problem.
Dallas? No. At Houston? No. Maybe if Houston has nothing to play for.
Yeah, Houston's 1-5.
Yeah.
That game is going to be at home. They were more than competitive against the Titans yesterday, who are unbeaten, but... Yep. My guess is that game for Houston is not going to mean anything.
Yeah.
Dallas, I don't know. The NFC East is so bad.
It doesn't matter. That's Andy Dalton coming back to Cincinnati. That's a Dallas win.
So five wins. And we'll get off Zach Taylor's back.
Yep.
So he's got to go 4.
Because we got to quit being so negative.
Yeah. He's got to go 4-6 to call off the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
4-6 the rest of the way. And all right, fine. I'll make that deal.
Okay.
I'll make that deal. If our guy, by the way, that'd be 5-10-1 for the season. If he can finish think of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's how bad things are. We're telling this dude play 400 ball the rest of the way, and we're going to get off
Successful.
Your back.
Successful.
All right, Zach, go 4-6 the rest of the way, and we'll get off your back.
You want to know the issue with that, though, and where things get dicey. If you lose to Cleveland, you're not beating Pittsburgh, you're not beating Tennessee. If you go into the bye with a young coach where some of the guys on the team are the same age as you and you're already starting to see the rumblings and the foundation crack, if you're 1-7-1 at the break, good luck finding a roster that wants to come out and compete every week, because you will then lose the team. And you have Pittsburgh coming out of the bye. 1-8-1 is a very realistic possibility for this team, and if that's the case, can you motivate them enough to win two out of those three against Washington, New York, and Miami?
It's a fair question, but I'll make the deal now. Finish 5-10-1. I won't talk at all about the coach's job security when the season ends. But I'm with you. It's hard. Look,
because we would have other stuff to talk about. What they're going to do on the offensive line.
Yeah.
What you do with these veterans that you phased out.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of storylines around
Again,
this team.
We said before the season, I think you and I both did, by the end of this campaign, by the end of 2020, A, do we have our quarterback?
Yes.
I think we're going to feel good about that answer. B, do we have our head coach? If the answer to both of those questions is yes, awesome.
Right.
We go from there. Then we talk about how we build with this head coach and around this quarterback. But if the answer to one of those questions is no, and chances are it's not going to be the one about the quarterback, then that still looms over everything we do. Then you go into year three. Okay, there's lots of – I mean, that,
and again,
four and six. I know, 4-6.
I know we hamper on this so much, but you cannot overstate enough how the rookie quarterback scale affects this team. Mm-hmm. If you want to compete, because who are you competing against? Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cleveland. You've got to go all in if you want any chance to compete in your division. So year two of Joe Burrow, you really can't risk wasting year two of Joe Burrow, let alone waste the end of this year where you look at the teams left on the schedule. He's going to be taking more hits as the season goes on.
Let's talk about how they are competing with the Eagles, Giants, the Washington football team, Falcons, Vikings, Jets, Jags, Chargers, and Texans when we come back. It's the Bet River Sportsbook, Tony and Mo Football Show at Twin Peaks in Westchester. We are here till 6 o'clock. We're here every single Monday on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station.
This is Football in the Natty, brought to you in part by CME Pipelining and Sewer Repair and by Skyline Chili on ESPN 1530, the official home of the Bengals.
24 minutes after 5 o'clock, this is the Bet River Sportsbook, Tony and Mo Football Show on ESPN 1530 from Twin Peaks in Westchester. We're here every single Monday, every single Monday. By the way, first Monday night game is underway midway through the first quarter. Buffalo and Kansas City are scoreless, a battle of a pair of 4-1 teams. By the way, you know, we've been...
How miserable does that weather look?
That doesn't look fun at all. But you know what? I'd like to be sitting in weather like that, watching one of these two teams, rooting for them.
Yeah.
Thinking that my franchise was in really good shape with the people running it.
Yep.
So we've been hard on Zach Taylor.
Too hard. Yeah.
We've been critical.
Yep.
This is life when you're an NFL head coach and you don't win.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think Zach Taylor would be the first to admit this comes with the territory.
3-18-1.
3-18-1, I get what I deserve. I think he's a smart enough guy. But just to illustrate that it's, you know, because sometimes I'll get like, God, only in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
The negativity. Well, not so much. This is a clip from a radio show on 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. The Patriots.
New England.
Yeah,
they haven't won many championships.
Patriots lost to the Broncos 18-12. And Bill Belichick maybe didn't have the team ready. You are going to hear, this is just a one-minute clip. Here are two hosts talking about arguably the greatest football coach who's ever lived and the performance of his team yesterday and this season.
Team was not prepared, and we all said it. Oh, it was like a chorus around here. Well, they'll be the, you know, of all the guys that could deal with no preseason or a different training camp or lost days and time due to COVID, who's the best, you know, who's going to clean up on that? Bill's going to clean up on that. Instead, his team was not ready, and they kind of gave in. I say they, meaning the coaches. Bill did.
Oh, I thought he did. I told you. To me, that was like, whoa, what's going on there? Not to mention the two-point conversion. What the hell was that all about?
Too busy blaming Goodell like a bunch of eight-year-olds. Too busy blaming a locker room the size of a locker room. Too busy blaming this, that, and the other. Versus what? Getting ready for a game or doing the best they can to get ready for a game and blocking out the distractions and overcoming adversity like Tennessee's done just fine. And instead, you're the team that succumbed to it, that wasn't ready. That's a sign of a coach that's losing his fastball. Sorry. I'm saying that to myself as much as anyone. I'm just calling it like I see it.
That's a couple of dudes talking about Bill Belichick, who has taken the Patriots to 9 Super Bowls.
A coach 9. Losing his fastball.
Zach Taylor has won 3 games. But, hey, we're not being deferential enough to Zach.
Yeah, we got to lay off a little bit.
They're hammering a dude.
9 Super Bowls.
He's been to 9 Super Bowls.
Well, you know what the difference is?
Literally the greatest coach of all time. So, and by the way, whatever criticism Bill Belichick gets, he certainly deserves. He'd probably be the first one to tell you that. If in Boston they could just wail away at Bill Belichick, 9 Super Bowls?
Could you imagine?
I think Zach Taylor can handle some jabs.
Could you imagine being so successful and as a fan base being treated to so many titles that you have the wherewithal to call out Bill Belichick right now this early in the season?
Well,
with a new quarterback.
Yeah.
COVID going through the team. That is a spoiled fan base, and for one, I am jealous.
Well, I mean, I'm not a Patriots fan. I will say that it's understanding the amount of control that Bill has over Bill. We're buddies. That Bill Belichick has has over his roster, that, you know, some of the big picture stuff has – that roster offensively has been bad for a while. They were rough last year. They're bad this season. But if Bill Belichick can take some heat from a couple of radio dudes in Boston – guess what Zach Taylor can handle?
I think we're all right. 3-18-1.
The Bengals are one. The NFL this year is, I was going to say, strange. There are three teams that haven't lost a game. Pittsburgh and Tennessee are set to meet each other in a game that was supposed to be played a couple of weeks ago. The Seattle Seahawks, despite having a sieve of a defense, are still sitting there unbeaten. The Chicago Bears, despite having a non-existent offense at times, are 5-1. But we have, through six weeks, 10 teams in the NFL who have one victory or less. It obviously includes the Bengals. So
that tie is going to be huge for us.
That tie is going to be huge. Yeah, I mean it's a win and a half. The New York Jets, it's stunning to me they haven't fired Adam Gase yet, are the league's only winless team. But Philadelphia, the Giants, Washington, Atlanta, Minnesota, the Jets obviously, Jacksonville, Houston, the Chargers, and the Bengals, each sitting there with one win or fewer. Philadelphia and Cincinnati are a little bit different because each team obviously does have a tie. So it's a long-winded way of me launching into a question that you and I talked about off-air today. I don't think the Bengals are going to get the number one overall pick. I don't think they're going to go 1-14-1. I think the Jets could go 0-16. But let's say they did. Let's say they did. First of all, a year after rooting against this team late in the season, are we back to doing that now? Like, is that where things are going to be? I hoped when I vociferously and actively rooted against them against Miami last year that I would never be in that position again where I was actively rooting against them. Am I going to be back there this December?
I mean, if it's between, you know, 2 or 3 wins and getting Trevor Lawrence, I'm guessing you would be.
Let's talk about Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is, we've been talking about him being the number one overall pick in the draft in 2021 since the end of the 2018 season.
Yes.
He's going to be the guy. Maybe it's Trevor Lawrence 1, Justin Fields 2, but Trevor Lawrence is going to be the guy. There are a lot of teams in the NFL that I'm sure would love Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
If the Bengals were to somehow have the number one overall pick, first of all, it's
if
a dead
the Bengals are having the number one pick, we're in trouble for the rest of the season.
The Zach Taylor discussion is a dead issue.
Like, yes.
We're moving on. But from a draft standpoint, what do you do?
I'd take a king's ransom for that number one overall
pick. And you would be offered it.
You would
be offered it.
Look, to me, Joe Burrow is the guy. Mentally, physically, he can make all the throws. You would get a king's ransom for that number one overall pick. I would listen to all offers. I would take what gives me the most. And I would take what I have in Joe Burrow, and I would build an offensive line around him.
Would you rather have, just at face value, understanding, you know, Burrow one less year of team control.
Yeah.
Face value. You can start your franchise with Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence. Who would you rather have?
From what I've seen now, Joe Burrow, because the NFL game is so much different. You have to be mentally different. And Joe Burrow is. He carries himself with that swag. I'm all in on Joe Burrow. And look, people are going to argue that Joe Burrow's older, which he is, mm-hmm. by a few years. The way he's handled this season so far in Cincinnati and the job he's done, I'm eager to see what happens if we can build around him
mm-hmm.
and give him the pieces, because I think he can be a really good quarterback for a really long time. But again, that the but with that comes of making it to that point where you can build around it.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry, I got caught up there. Travis Kelce just caught another touchdown.
Congratulations to him. Now, let me be – I agree with you, by the way.
Ooh.
I agree with you.
Okay.
If at face value, you could have Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence – my mind may change after watching Trevor Lawrence play in six NFL games last year. I know he threw the game-ending pick yesterday. I'm still smitten with Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still head over heels crazy about Joe Burrow. But you mentioned you could get a King's ransom for Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, yeah.
Could also get one for Joe Burrow. We've seen teams. The Arizona Cardinals did it. Now, they did it with a guy in Josh Rosen that nobody wants to start. So,
right.
And said, all right, fine. We took a guy in the top 10, a little bit different than number one overall. Now we have a chance for Kyler Murray. You know, that's working out well. Andy Dalton, Kyler Murray play again tonight for the second time in consecutive years. But you can make your franchise to a degree all about one guy and then pivot in another direction if the draft sort of dictates that you can. You could also, if you liked Trevor Lawrence more,
mm-hmm.
and that's a big if, you can make Joe Burrow available.
The only thing with that is,
it's one less year.
The only thing with that is Joe Burrow's had the toughest start of many rookies in years past.
No doubt.
What he's been dealt, and he's delivered. Trevor Lawrence has a great upside. Who's to say how he delivers in the NFL? And
sure.
You would be taking a huge risk to walk away from Joe Burrow and what he is for Trevor Lawrence because of the upside.
Right.
And not knowing how Trevor Lawrence would react in a situation like Cincinnati where he's not protected and has all these things working against him. Joe Burrow was made for what Cincinnati is right now, and hopefully Joe Burrow's a guy on the other side of this. Speaking of positivity,
mm-hmm.
once we get through all this, hopefully Joe Burrow's the guy that's leading this team far into the playoffs.
So I agree with everything you said. It's
which is rare that we do that.
It is rare, but
unless it's locks of the night.
It would be an absolutely fascinating dynamic. Number one, I don't think the Bengals are going to have the number one overall pick. But it would be the most interesting discussion in the recent history of the draft.
What do you think they could get?
Oh, for Trevor Lawrence?
Yes.
It would be insane. So here's my next question. Let's say they go 114-1, which by every account would be disastrous. You went 2-14 last year,
mm-hmm.
and this season you followed up by having an even worse record, which is hard to do. And again, I really genuinely don't think they're going to go 114-1. I think they're going to finish with 4 wins. But let's say they did. And that is, boy, that means that nothing you did this past offseason worked out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Is
I know where this is going.
Is it worth that failure to be able to cash in and get the kind of haul that you could get in return for the number one overall pick? Because for Lawrence, there are very few teams in this league that wouldn't say, well, screw it, man. We can
right.
get him. I mean, we're talking about playoff
Handful.
Teams. We're watching one of them. I'm not even sure we're watching two of them.
Right.
So there's a lot of teams that would love to trade for Trevor Lawrence and then try to flip him. I mean, there's the world of possibilities is endless. Would it be worth having that if it came at the expense of an awful season that basically undid everything you did this past offseason?
Yes. If you get to the bye week and you go into next year without Zach Taylor, and you got a new regime coming in that can utilize those draft picks. And if you are in that mode and you are 1-7-1 and you have the Pittsburgh Steelers looming out of the bye, rest him. You'll have 9-game sample size of Joe Burrow. Know what he can do. He'll have 2 more 300-yard games out of these next 3. Don't risk him having some type of injury against a team that's going to sack you 10 times seemingly in the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So if you do that, you're tanking. If you
yes.
play Ryan Finley, number one.
At 1-7-1, you're
yes,
tanking anyway.
You're tanking. I mean, you're sending the message after months of trying to build towards winning more games this year.
Mm-hmm.
If you, and by the way, I'm not opposed to
but
this.
But how perfect could it be if you move on from Zach Taylor at the bye and then say, we're going to protect Joe Burrow for the next regime coming in?
And get them. Now, it's hard to tank in the NFL. We saw it last year. The players care too much. I mean, you know, the
Miami Dolphins. Taylor's here, they won't.
The Miami Dolphins, you said it best last year. The Miami Dolphins are tanking Monday through Saturday. They are not tanking on Sunday. They played for Brian Flores last year, and it turns out they didn't get the number one pick. they still got Tua Tagovailoa, who came in yesterday and threw a couple of passes. But it's hard to tank. And especially in a year like this, I'm sure one of these one-win teams is going to, you know, vault themselves into the fringe of the playoff race. It's almost impossible for that not to happen. There's 10 of them. But still,
Doug Peterson's going to kill us with that. The
stupid tie.
Going to kill us.
Yes. Again, the Jets could go 0-16. They are miserable. I have a hard time believing the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to find their way to more than three wins. The Falcons have already fired their head coach.
Well, but this is the problem. We spent all this money in the offseason, and we brought back A.J. Green, and we have Dunlap and Lawson.
So we didn't have to have this conversation.
And we signed all these free agents, and we drafted well, and we are six games into the season, and we are already talking about next year.
That's
the problem with the Bengals.
Correct.
That's a failure, and that's why Zach Taylor has not gotten the job done, and that's why Zach Taylor, quite frankly, unless there's a miracle the next 3 weeks, shouldn't be coaching after the bye week.
You said it best. What they did this offseason, this was not a rebuild start from scratch. I think maybe this is the influence of the mid-decade Reds. This was not a deal where, okay, well, we start from scratch. We got a rookie quarterback. I know the injuries have affected the guys they signed this offseason. The Bengals have nowhere close to the youngest team in the NFL. They built this team to take steps forward,
yes,
to win more games and avoid conversations like, what do you do with the number one overall pick? And yet, you're right, we're not even to Halloween, and we're discounting the possibility they're going to play meaningful games in December, and we're actually vocally discussing what they're going to do early in the draft.
It's unfathomable that we're here right now.
But, you know, last year was painful. But then, at the end of that pain was Burrow, number one pick. Would the pain of another season like last year, this year, be worth it? If you could say the rest of the NFL, give us... Start hitting us up with offers so you can have the top overall.
We're already doing it right now. Yes. As bad as that is to say, I'll take it. Because I know how to do these shows. I'm good at these shows after a bad loss or a disappointing loss. I can handle these.
I think you started doing this show with me midway through the
2000s. Can we check my record?
So, legitimately, if memory serves me correct, when you started doing this show with me, it had been Rocky Boyman for a couple of years. The Bengals were 6-0 in 2015. We should go back and look at the
records. Oh, my gosh. I'm the Zach Taylor of the Tony and Mo Football Show.
Hardly. 20 minutes away from 6 o'clock, he's Tony Pike. I'm Mo Egger. Bet River Sportsbook, Tony and Mo Football Show, Twin Peaks and Westchester on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
You've been listening to Football in the Natty, brought to you in part by Bet Rivers Sportsbook on ESPN 1530, the official home of the Bengals.
All right, 14 from 6, Bet Rivers Sportsbook, Tony and Mo Football Show on ESPN 1530. We have a couple of minutes. Let's run through a couple of things really, really quickly here. Yesterday, interim Houston head coach Romeo Crennel goes for 2 up 7 after scoring a touchdown with a minute 50 to go. He fails. The Titans then get the ball, score a touchdown, kick the PAT, go to overtime, ultimately win 42-36. What did you think of what Romeo did?
No problem. You have one win on the season. You're playing the Titans. Win the game now. I have no problem with a coach being aggressive to win the game, not passive.
What about Ron Rivera, Riverboat Ron in Washington?
Good.
Goes for two there.
Take it.
He's 0-5. Or
what do you got to lose?
Go win the game.
What do you got to lose?
We're going to get Pittsburgh and Tennessee on Sunday. Ooh. 2-5-0 teams.
Ooh.
Would you have guessed? How much money would you have lost betting on the Steelers and Titans?
A lot.
Being winless through 5 weeks. They each have had to miss a game against each other. Squaring off now, how much would you have lost betting on those two teams being
I'd have lost a lot of
clumsy
money.
Clumsy way of me putting it. Kevin Stefanski made it clear today, despite losing by 31 to Pittsburgh, that Baker Mayfield is still his starting quarterback. We'll see what happens on Sunday. Browns come here. Is he healthy? Had busted up ribs coming into that game. He was crushed by the Steelers.
We call this the get-right game.
For the Browns?
For the Browns. Just like it was for Phillip Rivers.
Kind of what it was for the Browns the first time.
Yeah.
But they lose by 32.
First time and for Phillip Rivers.
And it felt like must-win game for Baker and the Browns, and then they beat the Bengals.
All right.
So
great.
Sort of the same thing here. By the way, quickly, Saturday, Memphis.
Bearcats.
See what Memphis did?
50.
See,
50 burger.
50 burger on UCF. They did what Jacksonville did a couple of weeks ago.
Which which makes – and it worked.
Yeah, it worked. I tweeted about it.
Which makes the, a lot of crap the AAC race interesting because the teams at the top have shown some vulnerability. Come on, Bearcats.
I got 60 seconds here. If things go according to plan, the Bearcats will be at SMU on Saturday night.
We won't be.
We will not be making the trip, no. But the Bearcats hopefully will be.
Two ranked teams Saturday night, 9 o'clock.
Enormous game.
Got to have Des Ritter.
For both.
Need you, Des.
The narrative really hasn't changed even though they haven't played a game.
Nope. Good all defense. Right. Need Des Ritter.
We have to go?
That's it.
I have so much more I want to talk about. Tony has Cincy 360 tomorrow at noon. I'm back at it tomorrow at 3:05. Thanks to the folks here at Twin Peaks. Thanks to Mike Mills for producing on site. Taryn Bland back in our Kenwood studios and our servers tonight. Alexis and Taryn. Great job as always. We have to go. Thank you for listening. Have a great night. Join us here next Monday. This has been the Bet River Sportsbook Tony and Mo Football Show from Twin Peaks on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Day.